Hello and welcome to our first Sunlight Newbies Live of the year. My name is Sunny. I am Sunlight's community and social media manager, and I'm also a Sunlight mom of two kids who have been educated since preschool with Sunlight. So now my daughter will be a freshman in the fall, you know, starting up pretty soon, and then my son will be in fourth grade. And so I'm excited to be here with you all today, and I'm being joined by one of your Sunlight mentors, Lisa. She'll tell you a little bit more about herself, and then we'll give you some tips to get started off on the right foot and get ready for a great school year. Lisa, why don't you tell us a little bit more about you?
Well, hi, I'm so glad to be here on this very first Newbies Live. I am Lisa, one of your mentors. I'm also a curriculum consultant. So some of you I may have met on the convention floor or talked to you on the telephone. And I'm excited to be able to connect with you further here in the app. I started homeschooling in 2005 and retired from homeschooling when my youngest daughter graduated in 2021. So I think that is 16 or 17 school years. So we used Sunlight the whole way through my children from kindergarten through their senior year. So I've done all of the letters in all but two of the, I did not get to 500 or 600. I couldn't convince either one of them to stay home and do high school for 6 years instead of four. But we loved Sunlight, and we loved the flexibility that it gave to our family and the foundation that it laid for them. So my oldest is now married and made me a Lolo in November. So we're thrilled about that. And my youngest is getting ready to start her junior year at college. So I just me and the husband and the cats live here in our house right now, but we wouldn't trade our years of sunlighting for nothing.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with that. I know I was telling somebody just the other day that Sunlight has changed the entire trajectory of our family's life. And I'm so grateful that we discovered Sunlight early. But even if you are, you know, joining us, you know, halfway through your child's education, we know you're going to have a great year because it is just so fun to read those books together, have those conversations with your kids. And we are here for you, as well as the other Sunlight mentors, to help you with anything you need. So whether you want to share your successes here in the Sunlight app, or, you know, ideas, things that you've discovered along the way, we want this community to be here for you, to help you benefit as much as you can throughout your year. And everybody in the Newbies group is new to Sunlight this year. So if you know you're hesitant or worried to ask a question because it's your first year, don't worry. Everybody in there is on the same page with you, or they're like Lisa and me, where we've been longtime Sunlighters and we're excited to help you out. So let's talk about some steps to get started for the school year. Lisa, I know in the Newbies group, we have the very basic things. What do you do when you get your order? But let's talk about that instructor's guide. I know we talk about how easy it is to use and it's open and go, but especially if you have, you know, a program past preschool or pre-K, those IGs, that's what we call the instructor's guide, are big and they're thick. So where do you get started? What do you want to do maybe a week before you start school, or even just a few days before you get going, so that you can have a successful first week?
So there is so much information in the instructor's guide beyond just your day-to-day schedule and teaching notes. So I always took a day before I started school and read through to re-familiarize myself. What does it mean when there's a clock icon? What does it mean when there's a world icon? Those kinds of things. Those are all listed in the beginning of your instructor's guide and in that first week. So I also like to remind people, don't be intimidated by the amount of notes that follow your guide in the first week, because that's all just getting you started information. So that is a great place to start on a Saturday morning when the kids are at the park with dad, or you know, playing at a friend's house, or before they get up. Just take some time and read through that first week. I think sometimes the unknown is intimidating, but once you read it, you say, oh, well, that's not hard. I can do that. So definitely familiarize yourself with what all of the bits and parts of that of your guide are. And then in the back there, in section four, there are some awesome resources, and it depends on the level that you're doing, but you might have some tips and tricks for a research paper or record keeping or things like that. So make sure you read through there. And then remember that section three is notes on your read alouds and your children's readers. So you don't have to have read all of the books to be able to know if your child has read the book. We do give you the answers back there.
Yeah, and that's a great thing too, because I had heard people say like, oh, you don't actually have to read all the books. This was something that I was thinking, oh no, you know, if I'm teaching two children or as the kids get older and they can read on their own, do you have to read all the books to be able to have those conversations? You know, because like I have a high schooler, and so now she's totally independent. And I agree that those questions that go along with the books, I can have a great conversation with her, even if I haven't had time to read it yet. And oftentimes those questions kind of spur, ooh, this sounds like a good one. I think I will go back and read it. But that way I can focus on my younger child. So that's something kind of that I do. And we will have events like this throughout the year to kind of talk about that. But yeah, with your younger kids, you're going to be reading the books to them. So if you find that maybe those questions are overwhelming, like what you said, Lisa, that there's a lot of questions, maybe you can always cut some out or just talk with your child about the book itself. But don't be overwhelmed by the volume of information there, because Sunlight has already answered the questions you may have. And so there's information that you may not even use, but those front pages in your IG, definitely read those, because that's going to explain to you how to use the schedule. I think if you jump right into the schedule, you're going to be a little confused. And like Lisa said here, the first week there's always extra notes, because it's setting you off where you're going to know for the rest of the year what you're supposed to do with certain things. So if you've got a lower level with spelling words in the language arts, it's going to explain what to do that or do with those in the first week, or the icons, the globe, the parent note icon, which is an N and a square, you know, all of those things. Make sure that you familiarize yourself. But again, if you're confused by something or, oh, I saw this and I saw this note, what does that mean? You know, definitely let us know in the app and we can walk you through that. Because once you've done it for a year or two, you mentioned like maybe the Saturday before, I'm very much like still building my instructor's guides, you know, just a few days before, because I've done it so long now, I do know what it is. But that first year I had everything set up, you know, the week before, so I could really familiarize myself with what am I going to be doing. Now let's talk about the schedule pages, because I think this is, once you get into the year, one of the most important parts of the IG, because that's your active week. How do you recommend that people look at that or get ready, or what should they do when they're setting up for their first week and using that schedule for the first time?
So we always just used a pencil and marked off as we worked through whatever that was. And the first week we were usually all on the same page, but after that, we might get ahead in a read aloud or miss a day of history, and that's okay. If your state requires more records, I know some people will put a date on that. We did not have to do that, but that's a great record keeping system. And some people will choose a different kind of schedule, a block schedule, a loop schedule, and we have lots of information about all of that. But as you just begin, just pick something and start. And just because we have Bible and then history and then read alouds, that doesn't mean that's the order your day has to go in. If it's easier, or if you want to include everyone for Bible after dinner when dad's home because he's going to do the Bible study, that's okay. If you want to stumble out of bed and just pile on the couch in your jammies and start your day with a read aloud, that's okay too. You get to choose how to do that. It is a guide. It is not your boss. And there are no Sunlight homeschool police. We will not show up at your house and say, you've had your curriculum for 13 weeks. I'd like you to be on day one of week 13 today. We do not do that. We're here to support you, but we are not going to micromanage how you run your homeschool. So you get to pick.
Yeah, I love that. And you mentioned, you know, on week 13, being on week 13, part of that scheduling is if you want to, you know, do 3 weeks through and then take a week off, or some people do 6 weeks on and take a week off, you can. Or if you have, you know, relatives coming to town or you're planning a vacation, you know, when other kids are in school or a field trip, you don't have to stay on day one, day two, on day two. You know, Lisa mentioned loop schedules, block schedules, and we will talk more about those things throughout the year. I always say, you know, your first week, try to use it as Sunlight has it written, just so you can familiarize yourself with where things are. But I know over the years, I have changed up my methods, and for different kids, I've taught them on different schedules. And so, yeah, get out that pencil and use it to, you know, mark off what you've done, circle things that maybe you want to do first, write dates on it. I really mark up my IG a lot to tell me what I'm doing. And I do live in a state where I have to submit dates, and there's no way I'm going to remember at the end of my year, when did we do school in August? So I always use that section at the top of the schedule to write, okay, what week did I do this? Or what day did I do this? Just to make it easier for record keeping at the end of the year. So depending on where you live, if you're not familiar with the state records that you need to have, definitely check out that information. We have some on our Sunlight website for each state, as well as HSLDA is a big resource for a lot of people. But find out what you need to keep, because some states you don't need to keep hardly any records at all, and then others you need portfolios and things like that. So if you don't need the information, you know, there's no reason to stress yourself out over it. But the instructor's guide does make it super easy to keep record of dates, work done. You can see the book lists, the, you know, all the things you've done. So it is very helpful for that if you need it. Now let's talk about getting the books out for the first week. Some people like to use like a morning basket system, or, you know, a rolling cart or something to really like designate or make it easier for their kids to find their books, especially if you've got older kids. What are some ideas for figuring out what are we on right now this week? You know, maybe using sticky notes or bookmarks to indicate where you are. What are some little tips and tricks there that a lot of our Sunlighters use to make it easier than, oh, I've got to find this book off the shelf and this one, you know, all of those things?
Well, I started on box day by first checking off my packing list, making sure I had everything in order. And I know a lot of people allow their children to unbox and things, but I tried that 1 year and then I couldn't find my stuff. And I didn't know if I didn't receive it or if someone had it stuffed under their bed. So that was a trial year. That didn't work out so well. So then I started opening the box, using my packing list to check everything off, putting it all paper back on top, and then letting the girls come and look at it, because at least I knew it was in the house by that time. But as I was building my instructor's guide, I used that book list that is in the instructor's guide. And the number that's next to the book is the first week that you're going to need that book. So that's the order that I put them in. I used the book labels, the little stickers that have the level that they are, because trust me, after even just 2 years, you're going to have so many books and you're going to say, well, I know I read that when Susie was in elementary school, but was it third grade? Was it fourth grade? You can't remember. So those book labels or some system to label your books are priceless. So I would get those, my books, and put them in the order that they came. And I had a shelf and it was high, but no one was allowed to mess with my shelf. And that's where I kept my history books, my read aloud books, and they were in order. And then when we finished it, I just stuck it at the end of that row. And so at the end of the year, in theory, all my books were there for me to pack away for the next time. I did take some time on Sunday afternoon just to look over my instructor's guide, and we did have a basket. We have a room that we used for school, but rarely did we do school there. It was mostly where we kept our school things. So I would make sure I had everything that was called for in the 4 days that I was going to school, whether that was day three and day four from this week and one and two from the next, or however that went. But just make sure I had all the books. My children needed to find their math book or their reader. You know, we had the, oh, I don't know where it is. And I would say, well, you should look again because you had it on whatever day. And then we usually resorted to the, I'll come look for it. But if I find it, I'm going to charge you $5. Oh, remarkably, oh, I found my math book, Mom. So we did have that on Sunday too. Just make sure you have all your things because nobody likes a Monday anyway. And then when it's Monday and it's time for math and you can't find your math book, it's not going to be the best school day. I'm just speaking from experience. So take 15 minutes on Sunday. Find what you need. Read over your science experiments. What are you going to need for that? I cannot tell you the number of times I sent my kids out on recycle night. Go look and see if anybody has a 2-liter bottle in their recycle bin because I hadn't been prepared because I didn't pay attention. So 15 minutes on Sunday is worth tons of tears during the week. Gather up your stuff. If you have hands-on history kit, take that little zip top bag and throw it in a basket. If you have a lap book, make sure that those things are, you have the pages. If your timeline, make sure those are cut out if that's what you do. But just a little preparation makes the week go so much better.
That's so true. Yeah. And I absolutely agree. We started using a rolling cart last year for the first time. And so I always made sure we had our basic school supplies in there, you know, colored pencils, markers, regular pencils, those things. And then we kept our markable map, our timeline, that stuff that I knew we were going to use during the week, just in there when we were not using it. I actually color code my kids. I have folders that they put like their science worksheets and language arts worksheets in. And so I know whose folder is whose, who left their stuff out on the table at the end of the day.
Also,
so I can call that child and say, okay, come put your stuff away. And so we put everything back on the rolling cart that we were using that week. And then our bookshelf had all the other books, you know, that they weren't going to use that week or the rest of the program. And like Lisa said, I've got many, many levels of sunlight. So having those little stickers on the bindings make it so much easier. I just keep them all grouped together and out on the shelves. That way, you know, when it's time for a new year, I can grab the stuff that my younger child's going to be using and move it to his area. So finding little ways to corral the books. I have a big, you know, no books in your bedroom unless you are reading them for school right now and you bring them back downstairs. Because yes, we have lost books or I can't find my book and then it's under someone's bed or, you know, things like that. And so what I love what you said about 15 minutes on a Sunday is going to save you so much time during the week, just making sure you have everything. And something that I recently started doing is using sticky tabs, those little post-it sticky tabs in my books to mark how much the instructor's guide said to read for the week. So I have one child who takes a little while to get into the story, but once he's in there, he doesn't want to stop. So especially for the read alouds, I just put a red tab, like say you're supposed to read the first 5 chapters in the first week. I'll put a red tab at the end of chapter 5. So I know that's our goal for the week. But if he gets into the story and wants to read 3 chapters today, then I'll use a green tab to just mark, okay, here's where we left off. So if you have a child like that who says, oh, keep reading, don't feel like you have to stop because the instructor's guide says to stop. Maybe move ahead in that read aloud and then the next day do extra history or the next day do extra science, whatever it is. But those sticky tabs have been a lifesaver because bookmarks fall out easily. I may not know where we were in the book if I forgot to mark it off on the instructor's guide, whatever. This way you can just grab your book, go sit down and start reading it. So that's something that I love to do that I really, it took me way too long to discover that. So little tips like that, you know, you will learn from the sunlight communities. Sometimes people, if they have independent children or at least kids that do their own readers and they read well enough to do it on their own, they'll put a post-it note on the front with here's your pages for today. And then that way that child can go read. They know exactly what they're supposed to read and they don't have to grab the big instructor's guide. We also, you'll hear the term floating around of a working binder. This is something that I like to do with my Sunday is I only pull out 1 week of my big binder at a time into a much smaller notebook for me to carry around. And I actually have a dividing tab between my kids because they're 5 years apart, totally different levels. But that way I can see exactly where they both are. And then it's only, you know, this thick instead of hauling around the big binder. So if you are feeling like you've got the big binder, or maybe you're out of your house a lot and want to be a little more mobile, a working binder or a folder might be a good idea for you as well. I mentioned that I keep my school supplies and color-coded folders in my rolling cart. What are some ideas for like school supply storage, folders, clipboards? What types of things should people have on hand in addition to their books and their instructor's guides? What more are they going to need? You talked about the 2-liter bottle for science experiments. How do they know what more they're going to need throughout the week or the day?
Well, science is so handy because they tell you last week for next week you will need. So I'm showing a little bit of my, you think, oh yeah, we'll get to that. But then I didn't. But do pay attention. You know, it's right there when you start last Sunday pre-planning. Oh, next week I'm going to need a yogurt container. So write that down, or however you keep track of things. Are you asking me what other kind of school supplies you need or what else to gather?
Yeah, so more what type of school supplies you need. Like if you're new to Sunlight, you know you've got the books and the IG. Gotcha. What else do you really have to have? Or, you know, I think sometimes we see these beautiful school rooms, and it's like, do I need a chalkboard? Do I need a school desk? You know, what types of things do you really need versus they're just fun to have?
Need, not much. Really, you just need some maybe colored pencils or markers, some scissors, a glue stick or two, pencils, and some paper. But, you know, fun to have would be a pencil box. You know, we did also color code. We kind of color coded our whole lives. They had a cup, one cup. You can only have one cup today. And their cups were that color. Their towels were that color. My girl shared a room. And I have one child that is extremely neat and one child that is not. And the neat child was constantly saying, that's not mine. And the other child was like, well, I don't think it's mine. But it's someone's, it doesn't fit me. You know, I didn't shower in this bathroom. So we did color code everything. So we had color coded scissors, pencil box, notebooks, folders, all of that. We kept our, I do think a shelf or a crate or a cart is something that is nice to have. They did have their own shelf. That's where their reader was, their math book, their folder that held their science sheets, or we were in a co-op. And so sometimes they had a project, not really homework, but all of that was on their shelf and their pencil box got put back there. We did not tend to clean up our school every day, but on Thursday afternoon, we went to co-op on Friday. So on Thursday afternoon, after we finished school, we did try to corral everything and get it back into the schoolroom just so we were done. We might leave a read aloud out or something. But I think if you have those things, maybe a stapler, you know, maybe those kind of, I do think an electric pencil sharpener is a must have for any homeschool family. Because sharpening pencils, whew, it's a mess. And I didn't want this kind. I remember what a distraction that was in school. So we do have, we had an electric pencil sharpener. It died last month. I just had to buy a new one. I was very sad. So I do think that's important, but really you don't need a whole lot of extra stuff.
Yeah, that's so true. I know you'll see it in the Sunlight community, Ticonderoga pencils. They are, yes, the best pencils. And I know like for math and things like that, I always have the kids write in pencil, so it's easy to erase if they make a mistake. Something else that we love for math or spelling words or anything like that, we have a little dry erase board. We have a big one on the wall, but when the kids were little, they found it hard to write, you know, standing up against something. But we have the little one that can sit in their lap or sit on a table more like a piece of paper. So that's something that we found was good. If you find your child is at an age where they need to erase a lot, or they, you know, might be misspelling some things. But even now that my daughter's in high school, she still prefers the dry erase board to work out math problems. That way her math book stays neat and it doesn't have stuff everywhere that she's losing. And so I love that. Something else that we did when my daughter was young and my son was born, you know, she was about kindergarten age when he was a newborn. And so I found it easier to do a lot of school in the living room on the sofa as opposed to at a table. And so I got her a little lap desk at that point. So she could still write and do all of those types of assignments on the sofa, or she would sit on the living room floor because I had a baby and I did not want to sit in a hard chair while I was feeding him or, you know, something like that. I was like, we've got to find a soft place to sit. So we did almost all of the school at that point in our living room on the sofa. But we have found, you know, clipboards or a lap desk are great because then if you're in the car on the way to an appointment or a co-op or something like that, you know, that child still has a place to write or even color when they're done with their work or while they're listening to a read aloud. While you're reading, they can sit there and color. And real quick, let's talk about that, Lisa, because I think if you're not familiar with literature-based education, you might be like, oh, my child needs to sit here and look at me while I'm reading to them. But most of us who have sunlighted for any period of time, we know our kids do lots of other things while we're reading to them. Is that okay? And what are some ideas maybe if somebody says, oh my gosh, this child's not listening to me, what do I do?
Well, I started with that mentality. Oh, well, it's school, so you have to be still and whatnot. And then I would ask Rachel questions and she would go, I don't know. You know, I was like, well, weren't you listening? And she looked like she was listening. So I was talking with some of my friends and they were like, oh, you don't need to have them just sit still. They could color, they could draw or Play-Doh or string beads. My girls like to string beads or those infernal perler beads that you have the iron. They would do that all the time. Probably could still pull one of those out of the couch or something. And then I had this epiphany, like, you know, when you ask the Lord, like, oh, what am I doing? Show me how to do this. And what he revealed to me, I have a notebook that I take to church to take sermon notes in. And I wasn't in my car. My car was in the shop or something over the weekend. And so I didn't have that notebook. And I found myself listening to the pastor who I never even look at my clock to see how much longer we have. Thinking, oh, I'd rather be at the grocery store. What are we going to have for lunch? Or how much, because I was all I had to do was pay attention. I had nothing else to do. And so I was like, oh, this must be how my kids feel when I say, sit there and listen to me read this book. Even though it's a riveting story, I think their little brains are thinking more, how much longer is she going to make me sit here? How much longer is she going to make me sit here? Where if we give them something to do with their hands, their ears can suddenly pay attention. And so I would say, why don't you color this picture that I just printed off the internet? Or we now, Sunlight has those awesome coloring books that kind of coordinate with what we're doing. Or just draw something that was in the story. And so when we were reading Charlotte's Web, you know, they drew a spider web in the corner and some hay and a pig. And now, was it a masterpiece? Probably not. But they were engaged with the story and they had something to show their dad or grandma or whatever when they came over. Look, we were reading this story about a pig and a spider and this is the picture that I drew. So I do think that there's lots of benefit to allowing them to do something quiet as long as they're listening. I was just talking to a mom who said, yeah, my kids just end up fighting when I do that. And I was like, yeah, we experienced that too. When my kids were little, we had this coffee table that had one drawer, but you could push it out of either side. And so that was always a big trigger point for my kids. They'd sit in front of it and just kind of tweak it out a little bit. And then eventually it would knock their sister on the other side. So there were times that they had to separate. I'm sorry, you can't play with your sister while we're reading. You have to sit over here and you have to sit over here. But, you know, for the most part, they were happy to draw. Oh, you're drawing a tree. I'm going to draw a tree or whatever that was. So I do think there's a lot of benefit to allowing them to get the wiggles out. Sometimes they roll around on the floor, which seems over the top, but if they're listening, that was okay.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, kids on the floor, or my son loves to play with Legos, that he's constantly building something or drawing, like you said. If all else fails, a child will sit still and be quiet when they're eating. So that's also a great time for read alouds, you know, or maybe if you have a distracting sibling, it's not actually the child you're trying to teach, but you have that toddler that wants to come in and make noise, or a baby, you know, when everybody's at the table eating, then they're usually quiet and they're all corralled in one place. So that is actually a great time to get that reading done too. If the child is not paying attention, my son is super creative. And so I realized if he gets too into his activity, he starts to tune me out. And so with him, I'm much more, you know, every paragraph or two, I'm like, what do you think about that? You know, to draw him back in, versus my daughter, who is that kid who could sit there and listen to everything. She even now has an audiobook on all the time when she's doing other stuff, because she doesn't like it to be totally silent. So you'll kind of learn with your kids, okay, who's really listening while they're doing this, who's not, and different ideas, but feel free to let them do that and roll around. I think one of the best things about homeschooling is that you don't have to sit at a desk all day as a little kid with all this pent up energy. Because if you think about it, adults don't even like to sit. I love what you said, Lisa, during church. It's hard for adults to sit and do that. So these little kids, they have wiggles and energy and things like that that they need to get out. Or, you know, when you get their hands busy or their mouths busy, then it's a lot easier. So feel free to do those things. Let's talk about our final suggestion to, you know, get started with the year. This is something that is a fun thing that just makes homeschooling more fun. And that is some form of celebration or tradition that you can start with your kids to make it fun, because they may not have, you know, the back to school party that they would have in school. So what are some ideas that, you know, maybe other Sun Leaders have used or you have used to make the school year a little more fun?
So we are a big tradition family. My children that are married, I have two in-laws, and my daughter has a pretty serious boyfriend, and they're always like, wow, that's a lot. So we did have a lot of fun things that we did on the first day of school. I usually would have some kind of special paper plate. We would make cinnamon rolls. That's what my kids really love to eat. So that was our back to school breakfast. And I would have a little gift bag for them with some Ticonderoga pencils. I prefer the white cap erasers to the pink cap erasers. I think they work better. So new erasers, a new set of colored pencils, a new set of markers, Crayola brand, not the off brand. Another school supply I think is underrated is index cards. I should have mentioned that. Like, so many uses for index cards. You can work on your spelling, you can work on your math, you can use them for all kinds of things. But so a pack of index cards, just whatever they wanted for school. Usually I would put, we're a funny sock family, so if I could find some funny socks, but just a little gift bag at their place. So we would have a good breakfast, go ahead and get our day done. And then after dinner, we always went for ice cream with dad, because that was a celebration that we made it through and only 179 days left of this school year. So we did try to make that fun. And then we also had, you know, some end of the year traditions that we did. So we tried to incorporate that into our schooling. I have a friend who has a whole situation at her house on the first day of school. She has streamers and balloons and tablecloths and all that. That's a little more than we did, but I think making it special is fun. And having just take a picture, take your first day of school picture. There's chalkboards. I think there's a printable in Sunlight that you're getting started. But just celebrate. This is something fun for your family. And if you're excited about it, your kids can be excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We always take the picture the first day. In my house, we're not morning people. So the idea of a breakfast, that would be happening at like 11:30 for us. And so we don't do a breakfast, but we do go out to dinner the first night of the school year. And usually we'll, you know, the kids will and us will throw the name of a restaurant into a bowl and then we draw one. So it's a surprise of, okay, where are we going? And that way it's not like one child's always getting to pick where we go or something like that. But we always do a big celebration at the end of our year too. And so, yeah, finding those little things that are fun. If you're super creative, I love the idea of streamers and balloons, but that would never happen in my house because I'm very much a minimalist and I don't do arts and crafts if I can help it. That's why I love Sunlight's kits where everything, we love the hands-on history kits and the lap book kits because everything comes in the box, but I do not keep random craft supplies around. I just don't like the mess and all of that. But if you are somebody who does that, or maybe if you bake, you know, bake a dessert or something for the week to celebrate and you'll start to create these traditions. And it is really fun to see over the years, whether it be from the photos, how the kids have grown up. You know, I always have them with their books for the year, the first day of school, and you get to see how have they grown up or they look forward. You know, in our house, the kids love the last day of school when we celebrate again, and that's something that they look forward to. So it just makes it more fun and a little lighthearted. Remember, Lisa, you brought up the point earlier that it's a guide. You do not have to do everything exactly the way Sunlight tells you to. You do not have to read every single book. You do not have to do every assignment, you know, on the day that we suggest you do it. All of those things make your year fun. I have a tendency to really follow the rules. That's my personality. And the first few years I was really rigid about, we have to do this. So we have to do this. And this is the right way to do it. And as time has gone on, I've loved the flexibility of being able to say, oh, you know what? We're going to do this today. And oh, tomorrow we'll do this. And just have that flexibility, make it more fun. And just enjoy that time that you're spending with your kids. I know, you know, yours have all graduated now, Lisa, and mine have just grown up too fast. And I'm already starting to see, wow, look at all the years we've already done. But I'm so glad that I've had those kids with me and been able, you know, to share those times together. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to add or anything else that you want to say to our newbies this year?
Well, I think in talking to some moms just recently, I've had several opportunities just in the last few weeks to come alongside some new moms and encourage them. And I think that they are looking at the highlight reel that's on social media and they're not realizing what it took to get there. This is a marathon for sure. Just being a mom is a marathon. And when we try to compare ourselves to the glossy highlight reel that we see, it's intimidating. Every homeschool mom, every mom out there has days where she doubts, am I doing the right thing? Is this the best for this child? I feel like a failure. I mean, I felt that. And I mean, my children are fairly successful, whatever that means. So just know that if the Lord has called you, He will equip you and He is faithful and He's never short. Like He just is never short. He never thinks, oh, you know what would have been awesome if I had done that. He doesn't have those thoughts. So press into Him. I just can't encourage you enough to do that and to just be so thankful for the children that He's entrusted you with. You just said your kids were growing up too fast. I saw a statistic just the other day that 75% of the time you're ever going to spend with these people happens before they're 12.
Oh, wow.
So that's sobering. To know that this is it. And this is the mom that they're going to remember. And I don't want my kids to remember a mom with their hair on fire. I want them to remember a mom who was like, oh, yep, we made a mess. Let's fix it. And not that I never lose my temper, because I do. But just keep keep the goal in mind. And if your goal is just to pour into your children and, you know, reap the benefits of that, you will, I promise, you will reap the benefits of the time that you're spending. So just don't compare. Comparison is the thief of joy. And just because someone else is doing it one way doesn't mean you have to do it that exact same way. And chances are they're not doing it that way every time. I even hesitated to talk about my friend with her streamers and things. You can have the first day of school without streamers, I promise. You can have the first day of school with Fruit Loops. It's all good.
Exactly. I don't even use streamers for birthday parties. So yeah, it's whatever, you know, you want to do. I absolutely agree that, yeah, your kids, the things they will remember too, oftentimes are not the things you even realize you did anything special. I know my kids will bring up, oh, I loved when we did this. And at the time I thought, oh, well, was that even a big deal? Is this something that they're going to remember? And they do. And so, yeah, I love what you said about really leaning into feeding into those kids and enjoying the time that you spend with them. That is a sobering statistic, you know, because you think, oh, I've got 18 years that they're in my house. But the fact that, you know, as they get older, they have their own activities and their own friends and things like that. So yeah, make sure that you're really taking advantage of it because it is super fun. And I know when I look back at the early years when, you know, it was hard to teach kids how to read and things like that, what I remember is us snuggled up on the couch. And I remember seeing the light bulbs go off as they learn things. And, you know, I'm sure even 10 years from now, I won't remember as much of the struggle when you're in it. So if you feel like you're drowning while you're in it, definitely reach out for encouragement and support. We are here for you, but I don't think that you will regret it at all. And we want to help you have the best experience possible while you're homeschooling. And so we do these newbies events once a month for you. So I do want to, if you're, you know, brand new in the group and you aren't seeing all of the announcements and things like that, every Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month, we will have a new newbies workshop for you, a live event with the mentors so that you can get tips and tricks throughout the year. And, you know, we can help you maybe with where you are at that point in the year. We know everybody starts their school year at a different time. So something may not be relevant for you exactly at the right time, but these are available here in the app, the Sunlight Connections app. So you can go back and watch them. So if, you know, you're like, oh, that's good advice, but I'm not going to use it for a month or two, you can always come back and rewatch that information. Also, if you would like to see a specific thing talked about, or maybe you're struggling with something, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do about this particular thing, make sure you send that to us because these events are fluid and flexible. We will, you know, make them what you want them to be and about the topics you want them to be. I mean, I think between all the mentors and myself, we have well over 100 years of homeschooling with Sunlight experience. And so we will tell you what worked for us, what didn't work for us. We all have, you know, a different number of kids, different ages of kids. And so, you know, we're all at different spots along the way, but we do want to help you out, you know, figure out how to best homeschool your own children because you've been given your children, not somebody else's. And so anything that you want to hear us talk about, you know, make sure to let us know and we will try to work that into this year's calendar. Additionally, we have our monthly homeschool helps and hacks. So these are for a slightly wider audience. So whether you've been homeschooling for 1 year or 30 plus years, the homeschool helps and hacks are geared for that group of any homeschooler to help you out with your homeschool journey. And those happen the third Thursday of every month. So twice a month, you're going to get to ask your questions, you know, directly, but throughout the year in the app. Anytime you need something, let us know. We want to celebrate with you as well. So when your child learns something for the first time and you're excited, share that with us. We want to get excited with you. That's also very encouraging, maybe to someone else whose kids might be a year younger or something like that. Like, oh, okay, well that, you know, my child will learn these things soon, or I'm excited about this. Of course, we all love to talk about the Sunlight books and our favorites. And so, you know, share with us what your favorite books are and all of that, because it is going to be a really fun year. Also, make sure to join us. Our first homeschool helps and hacks of the year will be on Thursday, August 17th. And that one is going to be all about different resources, to get plugged in, you know, form your community, get the assistance you need. You'll also get to meet the rest of the Sunlight mentors. So it's a big kickoff to meet the rest of the Sunlight mentors there. And they're going to share some of the life lessons they've learned, the homeschool lessons they've learned over their years of homeschooling as well. So you'll definitely want to join us for that. And we're praying for you too. If you have a prayer request, send that to us. And Lisa, thank you so much for joining me today, for helping me out with today's event. You will see lots of Lisa this year. We are here live in the app all the time. So we're excited you're here, and we hope you have a great year.
Thanks.